You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we had a really exciting week in the world of wrestling.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty stoked to get into it. So we're going to start right away with, I thought this was the most exciting match of the week for many reasons, for multiple reasons. Yeah. On this week's Dynamite, this week's Dynamite main event. This week's Dynamite main event was a ladder match. I had to write down every man who was in this match because I knew otherwise I wouldn't get it. So most of them had been announced. We had Orange Cassidy, we had Pac, we had Andrade, we had Matt Hardy, we had Lance Archer, we had Mox, and we had a Joker entry who turned out to be
Hangman's back. I was so excited. There were these rumors that maybe he'd be the Joker, but it was just based on nothing. And I was like, I'm not getting my hopes up, but I felt a little bit.
I definitely got my hopes up, and I would.
Did you?
I was in such a little mood where I was like, every 10 minutes I said to Sarah, I was like, but it's going to be Hangman, right? And she would tell me the same set of facts that she possessed. And I would be like, okay, but you think it's going to be Hangman, right? Like, you think so? And then she'd be like, I can't keep doing this.
It was really funny to me to see some people on Twitter being like, well, I was disappointed because I thought it was going to be a new man. And it's like, you need to get your legitimate head checked for thinking.
How many new men do these people require?
There the have car been so many. Is full. The
yeah.
car
no new friends.
Is full.
This
no
clown car
new
is jam-packed already.
That's and the clown car crazy. Is my brain. It can't fit anymore in there. I definitely did get my hopes up, but kept like trying to talk myself down and be like, you need to say it's not going to be Hangman. You have to accept that.
Because I had Hangman's never coming back. I'd
pretty much gotten to the point. I think I said it on this podcast. I love having this podcast because it's like I'm always confidently saying things that then are wrong. But I think I was just like, I just don't see how they could get him back for full gear at this point. Like, it just doesn't seem like they have enough time. So,
baby, they got enough time.
They have the perfect amount of time.
They have the time.
I do feel like it is like the perfect amount of time to build up for a full gear title shot. So I'm pretty stoked about
it
that.
Is,
if they let me down, I'm going to be real disappointed.
It is because they were on the edge, but they've been edging us for a while, and they got so close this summer before that baby came. So, they can get us back to the edge really quick.
Really quick.
It was,
but
really...
it's not because we haven't been working on this for a long time the way you have to. You know what I mean?
It was like when Alex Marvez was interviewing him on Roads to the Top and was like, so you can just cash in this chip whenever you want for a title shot. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
It'll just be next week at a regular time. Don't worry about that.
Right.
I'll kill you.
Anyway,
I missed him so much. It was just like seeing his little face made me so happy, and he's so much better of an actor than the rest of these idiots. Mm-hmm. Like just like his happy face at the end of the match, and then like that promo on Roads to the Top. It's just good stuff. It gets me emotional.
It's funny that you're saying that about when he was at the top of the ladder, but I agree about Roads to the Top. But at the top of the ladder, I was just like, that's a happy boy who then like remembers like, I'm a fierce man actually, and I'll make some fierce faces. But I agree. It's like he does always do the character work that we need. Let's double back, or I mean, we can mix it all up. But what did everyone else think of the ladder match in its entirety? beyond our very exciting and sexy surprise.
I loved the little interactions between OC and Mox, and like, when Mox bit OC on the face, I was shrieking.
Mox has been going crazy for biting recently, like especially crazy, and I love it. I mean, it's like he needs to see a trainer, behavioral therapist. But
my puppy is teething, and she bites me constantly, and maybe Mox is having his molars coming in there, you know, just to bite some faces. I know, it was so exciting because you almost never see OC and Moxley like interact or have matches or anything, so it was just like, oh my god, I would love to watch these two men grab each other all the time.
And OC and Pac had like really good moments too. And I had this moment where I was like, best friends and Death Triangle cannot have another feud, because every time they do, somebody gets hurt and it's not good. But at the same time, I do enjoy Pac's like withering face when OC does his little comedies.
That's true. It is a good like back and forth. I know, although I did feel very like, Pac, you be careful with my precious little fragile vase, OC. Like,
yeah, you handled him quite roughly last time. Let's get it together.
But Duke could still handle him a little roughly.
Safely roughly.
Mama liked to see it.
It was good. I feel like ladder matches are so fun in general. Like, I feel like, Ali, you said in the group chat, just like, it's like, it's a lot of men, but like,
it's not too many men. I was gonna say, I mean, I know that I've seen one before, but I just like didn't really have a clear memory of it. And when I watched it this time, I was like, fuck, battle royales are out, ladder matches are in. This is so much better than a battle royale. It's like a lot of stuff, so it is like exciting to track, but it's not too much stuff to keep track of. And you still get the excitement of like every 2 minutes they have a little countdown and you get somebody new. Like, oh man.
I know. Yeah. And they do a lot of like, I'm just so stunned, I need to like lie outside the ring for 5 to 6 minutes, like just so you can focus on like two other guys or whatever, which like is always, it's a little silly, but it's like helpful. I think the thing with the ladder match too, with a lot of props and like you can do some comedy bits where Orange Cassidy got like an actual like huge laugh at one point. That was, it was really funny just to hear like a crowd laugh that hard at a dumb match
during a busy match full of men.
I think someone on Twitter said that like they laughed like a sitcom audience, which was extremely true.
I also like when they get into like, you know, they just want to do their ladder stunts, so they're like getting out the second ladder and like building things to drop each other on and getting up on the ladder and knocking each other off the ladder. It's like, it's a really good central prop. I mean, maybe they do kind of get a prop work award, even though it's just, that's just the genre, and so it's not special and they didn't do anything special, but it's such a fun prop. It's such a good prop. I love ladders. I work for Big Ladder now.
They did do some like cool stuff with them too that I feel like I hadn't seen in other ladder matches. Like at one point, did Andrade jump like from off the ropes onto like the top of the ladder basically?
Yeah,
like,
it was, that crazy. Was crazy.
I was so impressed with that one. Like, and without knock, I mean, just me climbing up a ladder normally, I feel like I'm,
it's falling
fall
over under me. I need a step stool to get to anything in my kitchen. And every time I tiptoe up it, I'm just like, I'm about to die.
And this man's jumping off the top ropes onto like the top ladder.
Yeah,
I know,
come
with
do
another
that
man on
in
which,
my pantry.
Which all Andrade. The refs, all the refs circled around holding the bottom of the ladder also really made me like, I was like, oh my God, that's cute. They're all like holding it very carefully so everyone can do their cute little spots.
Yeah. Ooh, well, it was great. I'm just so happy to have our little Hangman back. So before we get into some of the broader questions about Hangman's return, let's talk about what his old friends were up to this week. So on Rampage last week, Nick Jackson had a singles match against Brian Danielson. This was much more interesting to me than I thought it would be, I will say. Yeah. Not that it's like I was excited. As you know, we love our Young Bucks, but I wasn't sure what the vibe of this match was going
to
be.
It was weird for him to be doing singles, but yeah, it was fast. And I feel like it felt different than a lot of matches. Like, there was just a lot of like, well, it was a fast match, but there were also like a lot of slow, torturous moves.
Brian
like,
Danielson, what do they keep calling it? Like, people who know more, like, they call it like working the limbs or something, or working the body parts, something where like it's that. Like, he loves to just like get somebody down and then be like, I'm going to fuck up your elbow, and then just, torture them for a while. It's interesting to watch.
Yeah, commentary was like,
oh, do you not agree, Leah? You don't find it interesting?
I do. I just think that you put a lot of weight on the word interesting. And
well, I couldn't figure out what word to use. It intrigues me. It's not a crime yet. So the match, they were doing everything. Bryan Danielson spat in Nick Jackson's face, which is like one of those things, like occasionally someone will slap someone else and you're just like, oh my God, like I watch you yeah. beat each other up all the time, but this is something different.
Fluid yeah. bonded. I know. Yeah. And Bryan Danielson just really like takes things to a level. I feel like I'm into it.
Yeah. And Matt Jackson was so upset. Did you already say this, Leah?
No, I didn't say it, but he was, and it was amazing. Him just outside the ring, just like absolutely losing his mind, was perfect.
It was great.
Brothers shouldn't be fighting without brothers.
I know. A brother needs a brother in his corner. I did like that. It's like that commentary kept being like, and this is normally when you'd have your tag team partner come in, but he doesn't have one. It's just him out there.
Yeah, they were definitely preoccupied where they were like, and again, I want to be clear. It's just Nick. Matt is not in the ring. And Nick is the singles wrestler tonight. Again,
poor little Nick.
Normally they're sort of Siamese twins, again, and you couldn't
separate
them.
No brother to help him.
No brother, no brother.
No brother is the new uncle. No brother. So eventually the match ended. Nick Jackson had to tap out on his own butt, which I thought was funny. He had to smack his own bottom. And then Jungle Express and Christian Cage came out to join Bryan Danielson in the ring. And then everybody had a little post-match fighting. And Jungle Boy and Bryan Danielson ended up pinning Adam Cole and Kenny, respectively, who then also had to tap out, even though
it wasn't a match.
Not a match.
It's just so funny when they do that.
A playground kerfuffle. Yeah, and so then they ended up having a 6-man tag on Dynamite this week, which I thought was pretty fun.
It was. There was a lot going on. Like, I feel like it was one of those matches where it was like there were a lot of men, but like I could follow the whole thing, and it was like fun and interesting. I'm liking these two groups fighting each other. I feel like
I'm enjoying it. I want to refocus on just kind of one of our usual topics, which is that Bryan Danielson's body has like really been growing on me, and somehow the more I see it, just the more into it I am. And like, he just has like, I know he is working modern muscles, which I think is something that you said recently, Anne. You were like, he has a normal, like, a modern day body. I was about to say adult body. That's fine. But it actually is kind of a weird old-timey bodybuilder body, like, a little bit, where it's like, before they could lift that much at the Olympics, and they were like, I lifted 20 pounds, and I'm the strongest man in the world. It's a little bit of that kind of body, and it's just, like, really juicy legs. I think I actually do love it.
I'm glad you can speak your
not
truth.
Not there yet, but
it's
happy.
So easy for me to say, and I think he has some of the best mid-match hair I've ever seen. I won't stop bringing it up. I
definitely
when
does.
He's at the end of one of those matches and that little bob is just swinging into his face.
It's
I don't
a
know.
Good
I guess
little
marry me, Bryan Danielson.
Bob. Yeah. And I think like the other week you and I had a little galaxy brain moment on in our group chat about we're making jokes about Shakespeare and then like Midsummer Night's Dream and then said like that Bryan Danielson is kind of like a changeling child who's actually like a fairy in reality.
Yeah.
And then Kenny Omega is the human child that was
raised in the fairy court. It's right. It's exactly
completely
right.
Perfect. It's like the planes of Bryan Danielson's face are just like a little bit off in some way. His body's like a little bit off. But
beautifully,
I think it is growing
so
on me too. Though, yeah,
it's anyway fascinating. Like, you kind of want to keep looking at it. I don't know.
I do. You do. You
do. I do want to keep looking at it. Yes.
Well,
any questions?
Panties are kind of high waisted too.
They are high waisted. Like, again, it's that old timey look.
Yeah,
he's in the 1927 Olympics.
Yeah, he looks like he should be in a 1927 like ad for like some kind of what the protein powder equivalent in the 1920s, but it would be something weird.
Like worms or something.
Yes.
Like arsenic, probably.
Right. Yeah. Just like some kind of heavy metal.
Okay, so let's talk about now we've got that little feud going on for the Elite / Super Click. We have Hangman back in the picture. What's about to happen to us, ladies, over the course of the next month and a half?
I don't know, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the Elite to start like suffering a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I
was they've surprised been really that- happy lately, yeah. And it yeah. is time for that to take a turn. Yeah,
I was surprised that they got to win the six man. I thought for sure that because Jungle Express has taken so many, Jungle Boy in particular has gotten pinned so much lately that I thought for sure that they were going to lose the match last night. And so I'm like, I'm ready for these boys to lose more.
You want to watch them lose. Well, we did see Nick lose. We saw Nick lose. So
we did see Nick lose.
So that's something for us. I also am psyched for like whatever's going to go on with Adam Cole and Hangman, because like also in the Rose to the Top promo, mm-hmm. like they brought up, oh, Adam Cole's joined the Elite now. And Hangman was very like, oh, that's nice. And then changed the subject really fast, which is like a beautiful thing that he does in these promos.
Yeah. I like Adam Cole was extremely funny on BTE, I think this week. And I really liked like he had that conversation. It was with a little recruitment talk with Alex Reynolds and John Silver, where they were like, we're like, the Elite killed you though. And he was just like, well, I don't know about that.
No,
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, I definitely think BTE is going to be appointment viewing on Monday.
Yeah.
For sure. Very psyched for all these dynamics, because I feel like there's just like a lot of weird interpersonal things that they could do with it. And I'm very interested.
Yeah, I mean, it's like obviously the Bucks and Adam Cole are just having the time of their lives being in a little clique. But it is kind of nice that they have a little setup in there to like easily get them mad at each other if they want to.
Yeah.
They dig into the old circumstances of death.
Some potential rifts there. Yeah, that Hangman could exploit. And I feel like also Kenny's being driven so crazy by Bryan Danielson. Like it'll just be interesting to see like what directions this all goes in.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. And I think I'm saying this somewhere, but it's just like with Kenny, I must see a little emotional arc for Kenny, or like mm-hmm. that, like if we want to see Kenny take the character in a new direction, which he has to because he can't do this forever, we can't solve the problem with the belts on. The right. belts now are hindering our ability to develop Kenny as a character. So the belts have to come off. And I think it's good that like we have this Bryan Danielson setup where it's like not about the belts. Bryan Danielson mm-hmm. is interested in the integrity of the game, of the sport. Bryan Danielson is interested in reaching a true part of Kenny where they can be sportsmen together. Like, so
just wants to wrestle. Yeah.
Yeah. Something, a pure, unadulterated, fierce rivalry. Yeah.
So. Just the human raised by fairies and the fairy raised by humans facing each other down. Ooh. See where it comes out.
AEW yeah. Shakespeare, yes. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited. I don't know what they're going to do, but Hangman's back and he had a little baby boy.
That's so sweet. I was like weirdly surprised it was a boy, I think just because everybody else at AEW had girls.
No, I was too.
And then I was like, a boy? That's not what we have.
I know.
Well, and both.
If Hangman goes the same route as Mox and never shows me a picture of him holding the babe, I will
like respecting
lose my mind.
The privacy of their child.
Like, I know. Well, it's like at least you can turn the baby's head away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, give me a little like
just hold a blanket. Cheek, I don't care. Right? I just want to be able to visualize.
Just hold a doll. Just do TV.
You can hold anything. Just make it look like a baby, please.
What I want.
Don't we deserve this? Oh. Okay.
I did love when Mox said, I have a 3-month-old at home and she's insane. Yeah, it was a great use of a promo.
I know, Mox. That was a really funny promo. Okay, let's talk about some of the other stuff that was going on this week. On Rampage, Nyla, Jade, and Thunder Rosa had a 3-woman match with lightly used props. It was kind of like a weird prop match for me where I was like, do we need these? We're not doing that much with them.
I know.
They didn't have like the unfettered joy of like Mox out there like, oh, thank God.
Stuff up. Gonna hammer his head through this trash can. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty quick match. It was like only 7 minutes, mm-hmm. I think, ish. I just guesstimated while I was watching.
Well, they were like before Jade's body.
Yeah, you can't give Jade much more time.
Disintegrate.
I assume that's what happens if she's in the ring.
If she's in the ring for too long. Yeah. Well, and then it ended with Jade battering Thunder Rosa with a chair and then pinning her. And she won. So she remains garbage. Undefeated.
I was so mad about this. I was just like, Thunder Rosa and Nyla like deserve better than this. I just don't understand why they're pushing Jade so much. It's like she needs more experience and she's not that compelling of a figure. It's not like she's so great at promos like compared to everyone else that she deserves.
Right. Like MJF was not the best wrestler when he started, but he was really good with promos and you kind of understand. With Jade, mm-hmm. I'm like, she's fine. Like,
yeah, like she's not bad, but
no. Put her in the indies for a while.
It's like literally, who is she blackmailing? Like, what does she have on Cody? Like, what is happening? I don't understand.
I don't know. It is pretty inexplicable to me. And I think this week I finally was just like Googling to try and see what people were saying about it. And I didn't find anything interesting. I think that's the thing that like I keep feeling crazy about, where it's like I keep waiting for someone who knows more to be like, this is what's going on here. This is why they might have set her character up this way. This is like perhaps what they're hoping people will get out of it. I just can't find anything and I feel like confused. Yeah. Like I just don't know how to feel about it, where I'm like, it's not anything against her really, because I'm like, you haven't been wrestling for that long. You clearly are very, very strong and like beautiful strong. I mean, right, you have a beautiful strong body. I sound like a creep. I sound like JR, but you know what I mean. Like
that
the woman
female.
Is absolutely covered in muscles. So like I get that it's like that clearly they see so much potential in her. But I almost brought this up a couple weeks ago when we were talking about our sons 2.0 and how they like were talking about how like basically where they were like, I think it's like important to be a jobber or like to just like wrestle and not really have people paying that much attention to you and get the experience.
And it doesn't really seem fair to her to be like in that position, like when she's barely wrestled a match or whatever. Right. It's like, just like let her do a bunch of dark matches for a while.
Right. And I keep wondering if there's like basically kind of like an archetypal, if there's like a wrestling archetype that I don't know, where it's like you show up and you're the like strong person and you never get beaten, like I don't know what this is calling back to, but it's like I'm just like, I don't know what we get out of her never like losing. And when it's so clear that the reason the matches are so short is because she doesn't have the skills yet to have the longer matches. It's not like you're getting away with it. It's not like with Miro where it's like, I know that guy could go for a long time if he wanted to, but he's not because he's fighting Fuego del Sol. It's like, I understand like as an idiot watching that it's like you have a limited range, which again is not bad, but it's going to take time to develop.
Right. It's crazy. And this week on Rose the Top also, which was mostly really boring, but there was this whole arc with like Anthony Ogogo and how they were really pushing him, and Cody was all like, it's really like, I have to really put him like over in this match, but like, he's not very experienced, so I could get really hurt and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, well, it's like genuinely crazy to have somebody like in a big pay-per-view who's only wrestled 3 matches before. And it's like, I get that he's like a big boxer and whatever. It's like, does wrestling have like a inferiority complex about like real sports or something that they're like,
probably
this boxer, he's gonna wrestle and it's gonna be really good, you guys, like we're gonna make him a wrestler. Like it's just like, otherwise I don't know what the motivation is.
Yeah, I was thinking about that line of Cody's where he kept talking about being afraid that he would get hurt, and thinking about the last week when Red Velvet was like, Jade fucking hurt me, and Jade was like, I don't care. It's like, yeah, because you don't understand how to wrestle. Right. You should, like, I understand, like, I'm not stupid. I know some of that is like obviously a work,
right?
But I'm like, it doesn't come off good for you to be both
inexperienced
and absolutely not interested in whether you're hurting people.
Yeah.
And that was a weird interaction where it's like Red Velvet comes out of that looking so much better because like I like to watch her wrestle. She's not like the most developed wrestler in the world, but like she's entertaining. I like, she's like clearly like doing stuff with the character. Like, we've seen her have these really good moments where she's like, I'm reading what the audience is doing,
she's
and
like
I'm responding
a really good
to that
improviser. Yeah. Which it seems like you need experience in front of crowds to like get that ability.
They have to link up with Second City.
Get a really yes and energy going, Jade. Come on.
I need a little promo class with the Upright Citizens Brigade.
I wonder if they do ever make them do improv exercises.
They fucking should. I mean, force them to do it. But yeah, I don't know. It was a really weird, that Rose to the Top thing was really weird, where I was like, it doesn't look good. Like it doesn't seem cool. Like, I'm worried that you think it's cool not to care about this. But
yeah.
Like, as a viewer, I'm like, I think you should. Right. I don't ever want to watch someone get injured in the ring.
No, wrestling is when they're like, you know, clearly like colleagues trying really hard to keep each other safe in the ring. Like, that's the good stuff.
Right. Yeah. And like, that was the point where like so much of Road to the Top's completely breaking kayfabe. And you expect that kind of like, I'll kill them like on the show itself. But if you're going to break kayfabe, then it like, to have Jade doing that kind of promo, you're like,
yeah,
what's happening here with you? Yeah, like I don't know.
It was like Jade decided to be like the heel of the reality show, which is obviously like a role and whatever, but like, yeah, it just didn't look good. It didn't look professional to me, or sound professional.
Yeah, when I went on my little internet search, one of the things that I think someone said on Reddit was, they were like, well, Jade is number one in the rankings, so at some point, if she stays number one and doesn't lose, she's gonna have to fight Britt, and I don't know that is gonna be a helpful match for either of them. No. And I was kind of like, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
I just kind of don't see where her arc is going. Like,
are they
gonna
make her win
the TBS champion
belt?
Yeah,
it didn't occur to me until just now, and I'm mad.
Sarah's theory is that, yeah,
I don't understand that. That makes me feel crazy.
That's disgusting. I know, it does. It's like, who is a fan of Jade? Like, who is this for?
You know,
I don't know. I mean, it's like, it is, I understand that, like, behind the scenes, I guess there's just a part that I don't understand, where it's like, they clearly are like, we have a vision of certain people being big stars, and sometimes that vision really comes true. Like, it's clear that, like, that's not where Hangman was 2 years ago, and now Hangman's coming out and getting the fucking biggest pop in the world in Philly, because we're all so jazzed to see him back. But I don't know. I'm just like, you actually are building out your women's division, and you have lots of
female
wrestlers.
Females
now
in your stable here.
I'm like interested in, and this just, I don't know. This is not doing it for me.
I am.
And
like,
I'm just like, I don't want to watch a Miro run from Jade.
Ugh, no, it's disgusting. I know. And I do feel like, I was watching Rose to the Top, I was a little bit like, is it Brandy who seems to be pushing Jade, or Brandy and Cody? And then it's like, maybe I'm just blaming them because like, I don't care for Cody, but it does feel like someone's got it in their head. Someone's got it in their head that Jade's a big star, and I don't know why. And it's like, why don't you let the crowds dictate who is being successful here and who is not?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, well, let's quickly talk about, so yeah, we can bundle this all together. So there was a big announcement on Dynamite this week. Tony Schiavone told us that when Dynamite moves to TBS in January, we will be getting a TBS Very Funny Belt for females.
For females belt.
I'm so worried. It's so funny to say it, but I really am. Like, soon it won't be a joke anymore.
It'll just be a thing we say. I know.
Yeah. Which is really exciting.
Yeah, it is really exciting. I'm psyched for this belt.
And the women need two belts to fight over, yeah. Which Britt did a promo later in the show that basically making that point.
She also had a very funny line where she was like, I was crossing my fingers for the Cartoon Network belt, but whatever.
No, that was really funny. So who do you already said, Leah, so why don't you expand on this theory that you're getting from your wrestling household?
First of all, Sarah and I had a very funny interaction where I like could not get something through my stupid head. I was like, oh, so like, is it going to be like the TBS men's belt and the TBS women's belt? And she was like, why would they rename the TNT belt? And I was like, well, it's moving to TBS. And she was like, Rampage is still staying on TNT. And I was like, oh, so they're only going to defend it on Rampage? And she was like, no, it'll be on both. And I was like, so they'll be on TNT talking about TBS? And she was like, it's the same fucking company. And I was like, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's
Leah,
right.
Leah, that's synergy. That's corporate synergy, Leah.
Ted Turner's happy for them to talk about his networks on both networks.
All of Ted's sons can discuss anything Ted related on any channel they like.
This conversation fully took 5 minutes and I just kept repeating, I don't know. I don't know about that at all. But anyway, so I said, I was like, if this is the mid-card belt, because like the TNT belt is for the mid-card wrestler. So I was like trying to think of like good mid-carders. And I was like, I wonder who's going to go for it. And Sarah, without missing a beat, was like, Jade's going to be the first one. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's so upsetting.
She's undefeated. She's the number one women's champion. They're definitely going to give her the belt first. And I was like, oh my God.
I'll be literally furious if that happens.
I'll just be confused. Like, I don't know. Just tell me what story you want to tell.
Right.
Like, that's the thing that I don't think that I'm like that picky when it comes right down to it, but I want you to be telling us, like, I want to know that you see yourself this way and you see the character like becoming someone else as they win and lose and experience things. So like, aside from the technical wrestling issue, it's like, what story are you telling me?
Right.
Yeah. It's like with her too, cause like her promos tend to be like, I'm the best and whatever. It's just like for a while I was like, is she like famous for something else? Like, am I supposed to know who she is? You know, it was just like, it's so much talk with so little backing it up.
Yeah. I don't know.
I would love for like Chris Statlander to win this belt, or I mean, Thunder Rosa would be good too.
Thunder Rosa deserves that TNT belt, and I hope she's coming for it next year.
The world champion.
The world champion. Sorry.
Yeah. I want her to have that one. And I'm like, I think Chris could do the TBS. That would be fun.
Right. I personally would still cook Chris a little longer too. Yeah. But for the TBS belt, I guess.
Who would you fantasy book for the first TBS one?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of
Ty Conti.
Oh my God. I would love to watch Ty Conti with that belt. I mean, I don't know.
I know. I feel like I need to open up my trusty Wikipedia AEW personnel
page. AEW women's roster. Given everything that they've done, like the way that they're handling it, I get why it will be Jade. I just have so many questions about, I want to be behind the scenes. Like, if you're, come on, Roads to the Top, you tell me like how you're making these decisions.
It feels very like hand of God. Like, you can just see the executives like trying to make it happen with Jade. Yeah. I feel like, which is just not pleasant. Feels very artificial.
It's like the same way I feel about how they keep trying to make me care about Brian Cage.
Another steroid user. Yeah.
Oh my God. The bigger the muscles, the more inorganic it feels.
Yeah. There's like, look at his muscles as an executive. I really have to push him forward.
I did think the other, I mean, I know we're not talking about Brian Cage for real, but I did think the other day that it should have been him trapped in that MMA feud because that would have been a good place for him, because he doesn't, wouldn't have to do the promos, and Chris Jericho would be fine.
And he would kind of suit the like dumb, you know, Jim Cornette jokey thing they're doing with the MMA guy. Like,
yeah. Right. Where it's like, that's not Ethan Page and Scorpio's guy.
Their bullies in a very beautiful voice. Like, Jim Cornette does not think that Ethan Page's beautiful, colorful button downs are things a man should wear. Like, he just doesn't. So, like, come on.
Really. We got to move on to the next topic before I say something that I should not say. So this category, baby boy beatdowns, all the little baby boys of AEW are getting either challenged or butt kicked this week. We'll start with little Dante Martin. Got into the ring.
I'm so proud of him.
He did a good job at this promo.
I know. And I feel a little cowed because I had been mentally putting him in the Jungle Boy space where I was like, you can't talk. But he did a great little brave little toaster promo where he was like, anyone in the locker room?
He only looked like he was gonna cry a little bit.
He was like, I'm ready to take anyone who wants to challenge me. You come at me. immediately the lights cut. Malachi Black lurks into the ring. The lights come back on. He's taking his skull mask.
He's standing right behind him in his skull mask. It was very, like, it was his scariest entry yet. Like, yeah, I loved it.
This is his season of power.
That's October. Right. It's October, bitches.
Come on, baby. It's spooky season.
Do you guys know?
All so good Malachis.
Last month, I was at the hairdresser, and I was talking to her, and I had to admit that on Labor Day weekend, I had gone to a pay-per-view, and to my surprise, she was like, I love wrestling. I used to watch WWE all the time as a kid. So she got really psyched. And then I was telling her about AEW and she's going to watch and whatever. But she told me that as a kid, Sting scared the crap out of her because like of his face paint and the black and stuff. And I was like, that's like the cutest thing I've ever heard, that Sting was scary to children. But I just thought, like, if Sting was scary, like, Malachi Black must be making like 8-year-olds lose their minds. It's like nightmare fuel.
Yeah, genuine, like, mommy, I'm scared to go to bed. Malachi Black's going to come out from under my bed.
He's standing right behind me.
And actually, that was Dante Martin last night.
And Dante Martin does have slightly the affect of just a sweet 9-year-old boy. So.
Very true. Yeah.
Anyway, he got black gunk spewed on him, or I believe Malachi calls it black mist. I don't know.
Black
mist that comes from his heart.
A very funny promo. Yeah, about how it's like emanating from his being or whatever. It was like, you're really committing to this whole thing. And I love that.
It's disgusting, but at the same so effective.
yeah,
it's upsetting.
It works great. I love it. I did think the other day, I was like, I think it's unfair that Malachi Black gets to do his black mist gimmick, but Orange Cassidy doesn't get to spray orange juice on people from his mouth anymore. And I was like, well, I guess that tonally they're a little different.
I'm gonna start sending a petition to Tony Khan.
Yeah. But I did not see this coming. I think it is smart of Malachi Black to want to fight Dante Martin, because Dante Martin is a really fucking cool wrestler. And I think it'll be a good match.
I think so. And it is good in October, because it is very horror movie. I mean, Dante Black does have like a real final girl energy, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, final girl. I'm just really deep in imagining little Dante Martin at the end of, like, you know, the ring or something. There's no final girl in the ring. Is
Halloween.
There? I haven't seen it in a minute. Yeah, so weird combo. I like it. Let's move on to baby boy number 2, Daniel Garcia, who this week, I thought this was what?
Tell everybody what you called him in the beginning of this schedule.
I was about to say, accurate, I thought this was a breakthrough from me. Our little Sid from Toy Story grandson.
That is right. He is.
He's extremely Sid from Toy Story, which is why you shouldn't like him.
Actually, I just read a tweet thread the other day about how Sid was maligned because actually he just wanted to play with the toys. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He didn't know they were sentient.
I read something really similar to that recently, too. I'll send you a link.
All children know their toys are sentient. Give me a break.
Daniel Garcia is cheerfully popping the heads off every doll he can get his hot little hands on, and his dads are so proud of him. They're like, that actually means he's
creative,
developmentally ahead of the curve. Because he understands about doing violence. Advanced.
It's called imagination. Look it up.
Look it up. Look it up. And anyway, so CM Punk cut a promo, one of his I'm gonna come out and talk to you promos, which I'm thinking about different things. One, he cut a promo where he said he'd rather choke to death on greatness than live a life of mediocrity, I think. And that was, he was saying, like, soon people will be tired of cheering for me and everyone's gonna come for my ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, it can't happen soon enough.
Please do something. Yeah.
Then he came out on Dynamite and was like, I want to fight Daniel Garcia. Was there any reason for this, or just because Daniel Garcia is quite a hot little commodity right now?
I like the idea of CM Punk just walking around backstage being like, I think I hate you today. I'm calling you out.
It's like, make my day, except that it's CM Punk. So I guess it is like him being like, I'll make your day by saying, come fight me. Good exposure. I'm excited for this. I can't wait to see 2.0 meet yet another wrestling icon, their favorite thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
You think they're going to scream "You're CM Punk" on the sideline?
I don't know. They could scream something more inventive than that. They're always coming up with new jokes. They don't reuse the same jokes over and over again.
It's true.
They're really smart and funny.
Oh, always thinking.
I did just shove it in here. It has nothing to do with baby boys getting beaten up, but on BTE this week, and this is, I mean, 2.0, we're doing their little Saturday morning show gimmick, and yet again they were like, there should be a BTE tournament. We're gonna have a tournament, and that's how you're gonna win the BTE belt. And it's like, y'all are hustlers. You show up and you're like, if there's not a little plot line for me, I'll make it easily. No. I will create the world.
They've had the belt for 2 weeks and they've already done more with it than who had it. Was it Sammy who had it for like
10 years?
Yeah.
But he was doing stuff on his own blog about it though. Was
okay. Well, you know that I refuse to watch that.
Well, I didn't watch it either, but I, you know, he was out there hustling. You have
that
to
was
admit.
Unsuccessful corporate synergy because I didn't subscribe to Sammy's log until Ricky Starks did something funny on it. He had done funny things before on it, actually, but
be funnier, Sammy Guevara would go along.
Yeah, Sammy. We're less funny, as we'll talk about in a later segment.
One way or the other.
choose your fighter. And then finally, Darby Allin had a classic little JR interview. There's almost nothing I love more than these JR interviews where it's like he has no tact and just says the craziest things that he can think of. And like is just out there being like, and I didn't like some of the things I was hearing on that stage. anyway, where he said such things as Max made everything very, very public, which does make him sound like a divorcee. Yeah, basically just got into some character work about his face paint. She loved when he does that. And then on Dynamite this week, he had it's a normal squash match, but kind of a reverse because he small squashed Nick Comoroto big, pretty much. I guess it wasn't like a full squash, but it was pretty fast.
It was very fast.
And then afterwards, he made the fatal mistake of stopping and doing anything in a parking lot in wrestling. So he accepted a match with MJF and then immediately got jumped by the Pinnacle, and who were all in their little stocking ski burglar.
I'm telling you, we said that as soon as they got freed from the Inner Circle match, things would get better. And they are, because that was genuinely funny. Like, I laughed at a lot of that.
Yeah, it was good.
I love the absurdity of it's like there's no repercussions for heels doing anything, so there's really no reason to put on ski masks. but except for the reason of theatricality, which makes sense for MJF. So yeah. So very excited, and then they announced that the MJF match will not be next week because Darby is in a rough condition.
Oh, he's got to heal up.
She said too excitedly.
MJF and Darby is just like such a good combination. It's just it's new, it's electrifying. They're bringing out things in each other. It's great.
They yes. Well, show me more of. I'd love to see MJF get pretty out of control too. So, yes. Darby, turn the tables and skateboard on that man's butt. Okay. Then let's turn our attention to Twinks, who did not get decimated. Sammy, our new TNT champ, fought Bobby Fish on Dynamite. I know the show. And Bobby Fish has some of the most mesmerizing facial hair, and it's his facial features too that I've yet seen in wrestling.
He also has a real 1927
he
vibe.
Does absolutely, but 1927 like carnival barker, mm-hmm. like stage magician vibes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yep. P.T. Barnum Central. Yeah.
Absolutely. I would love to get him and Brian Danielson on a stage together just to kind of look at their like faces and bodies.
Well, that sounded
normal. Which is actually normal. Yeah, that's a normal
I don't
request.
Think it's worse than the other things that we say on this show.
I think it was the way that you kind of said it, like you were gonna like do like some kind of invasive research, was like what you did over.
Sort of research. So you could do experiments on them.
Well, I will admit that I think what I said is kind of what I imagine. Like, when I don't like Tony Khan's booking, I imagine, because there's not enough character stuff going on, I do imagine that he was like, let's put those two together. I like their faces and bodies. And I did have a little bit of that energy. But I also think that they would bring, I'm not really advocating for Bobby Fish to fight Ryan Daniels. It's just about their 1927 bodies.
You just want to dress them up in 1927 clothes and kind of take a sepia tone picture of them and just see how it looks.
Yeah, and I'm going to get Dustin in there too, because he's done it before and he looked cool.
Yeah.
And OC can get in and look really uncool in his 1927 outfit. So this match was fine. And Bobby Fish, I guess, he is all elite, so I guess he has a contract. I don't know that much about him. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I asked Sarah. I was like, who is this man? And apparently he was in a tag team with Adam Cole.
Oh.
Yeah. I think our friend Mary also told us that to give Mary her due.
Sorry, Mary. I only retained facts for about 48 hours.
But it seemed like it has kind of a vibe of a like he's doing some training stuff and also will be wrestling, and that was fine. And I like that mustache. So
at least it makes it easy to distinguish him, which I really appreciate of a new man.
Absolutely. You can tell him apart. And then it was a whole thing. It's like, why even get into it? The MMA goons came out and beat up Sammy, who won, obviously, against Bobby Fish. And then Jericho came out to save Sammy. And then the MMA goons beat up Jericho, who had been like really badly injured from the MMA goons a couple weeks ago. So he hadn't been on commentary. So on commentary, they kept being like, and Jericho got really beaten up. They just saw the MMA guys all beat each other up. This was the worst stretch of Dynamite. This was 10 to 15 minutes where I was like, none of this is for me.
Ugh, right. It was terrible even before the tech issues, which was that, like, apparently the MMA guy, his mic, like, worked for TV, so we could hear him, but nobody in the entire stadium could hear him.
I didn't realize that.
And then Chris Jericho started to make fun of him for his mic not working, and then Chris Jericho's mic stopped working, and he just threw it sideways in, like, a hilariously, like, a little kid having a tantrum way, and I was like, this is a mess.
It's crazy.
I didn't even realize that that's what happened. I thought that something had happened with the mic that I should have noticed, but maybe I should have noticed it.
I didn't really either, because I like zoned out at a certain point in this was just very like not for women. I don't know why this MMA stuff is like still going on. It just seems so pointless.
Right.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, constantly cite Sarah Shockey of Marty and Sarah, but like her point was really good, which is that like this whole time they are just acting as if we are supposed to know these people and know what they want and why they're here, and they make no effort to integrate them and like, and it's true, and it's like I won't ever pay attention to this segment because I don't know what it is.
If you watch Dynamite and Rampage and every other required hour of AEW viewing every week, you shouldn't be confused about who people are. Like, all the information should be in these wrestling shows.
And I'm even watching a lot of non-required hours where it's like, I am watching Dark and Elevation and vlogs and all sorts of stuff. I don't know. It is weird where it's like, just explain, like, is MMA mad at wrestling?
Like, yeah, right.
I guess that's kind of like maybe what Dan Lambert thinks he's doing when he's like doing his Jim Cornette shtick. But it's like, it's not generic. I don't mean it in a really bad way, because like, I don't super mind like the way that he talks. Like, I'm like, I can see that he's good on the mic. Like, that's not the problem. It's generic in that I'm like, but why you, why here, why now?
Right.
Like, and why all these MMA fighters want to get involved too.
Right.
It also feels like wrestling has like an inferiority complex about like quote unquote real sports, if MMA is, where it's just like, you guys just like are letting these people do whatever they want for no reason I can tell, because you like are excited they want to go on your wrestling show. Is that all that it is? I don't know.
Yeah,
crazy.
I don't know. Okay, well, let's just move on. Can't even discuss it anymore. Let's end with something fun. Oh no, I put something not as fun after this. Whatever, let's have a little hurrah here. So we'll talk about the main event of, I guess, actually, I don't know if it was the main event of Rampage, because I don't know. The last one isn't always the main event of Rampage, but it was the last match of Rampage last week. Orange Cassidy versus Jack Evans, hair match, comedy match match for comedy boys.
I really enjoy that with Rampage out there, there's a little more time for OC to do his comedies during our weeks, because it's good for me.
Yes, I like to watch him. I like that in his pre-show interview with Mark Henry, Jack Evans and Matt Hardy were doing their whole thing where they were like, it's a hair match and your hair's gonna get shaved off, and it was like the first time that OC had heard it, and he was just like, what is happening in this match again? What am I doing here?
And Mark Henry genuinely cracks me up, because every time someone says something insane, he just goes, okay, all right.
He is they found the perfect little job for him. I mean, I know he's doing commentary too, and I like him there, but this is the moment where I'm like, I love, it's like when JR does his sit down interviews and I'm like, that's a perfect place for JR to be. This is a perfect place for Mark Henry to be, where he just has this like kind of mild, like, well, you are all really heated up. Let's stop talking about it and start fighting about it.
I know. He's like, he's here to be your straight man. He's got a real mild energy. No pushback from him if you want to go crazy. Like, all right.
Yeah. It was a fun match. I liked Taz realized kind of like early on in the match, he was like, an Orange Cassidy does have beautiful hair. Yeah, and he's really proud of it. I mean, look at him.
He's 37 and he's still got a full head of hair, so he's really got to enjoy it while it lasts.
I know, he can't shave that off. What if it never comes back?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I guess, spoiler alert, OC did end up winning. Jack Evans, I've just rocketed off into outer space, but with that scrunchie in, Jack Evans had a real 80s look. Like, he had a Babysitter's Club. He's the schlonkiest Babysitter's Club member, where it's like they're like, he's getting like dress code violations from Christy.
A Babysitter's Club member who's really hungover.
Yeah, I know. the party boy. This was, I'm trying to think like what the major points of interest are beyond comedy. Are the HFO has to turn on Matt Hardy at some point. I would assume so,
but I mean, I don't know that any one of them is the, like, you know how like MJF was always going to turn on Chris Jericho? I don't know that any member of the HFO has the charisma to really lead any of them.
No, it has to be unionization.
They don't have a union leader. Yeah, there's not like one person for sure. Like, it does feel like it would maybe like just splinter more than anything, but they almost don't even have enough charisma to split.
You know, in a way, let me hit you with something. I'm tired of seeing him. I don't think the shtick works. I'm tired of seeing Mark Sterling with Jade.
I know.
Mark Sterling is a lawyer, and with Matt Hardy, what we're having are contract issues.
There are a lot of contract issues.
There are a lot of contract issues. Let's get Mark Sterling over, and he can legally extricate this faction from Matt Hardy.
I mean, at the very least, he should be able to help that one guy with his visa issues.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Put that law degree to use. Yeah. Matt Hardy does like reinvent himself fairly frequently, it sounds like. So I'd love it if he would do that and make himself more pleasant for me to watch.
His suit fit better this week than it sometimes has. I don't know why I'm saying that. Like, I'm like, so maybe he is reinventing himself as a fashion.
Well, that's something.
I mean, when you hear people who watched him on WWE, they love, most people I know who knew him thought he was great. And so I keep being like, reinvent yourself back to that guy.
Yeah.
I would
love to
know.
Someone who's like less annoying would be great.
Yeah. I mean, let's get a new, I guess it won't be coming via the hair shaving, but the reason that I thought of this was because they were clearly doing some stuff where, you know, Jack Evans was like, I don't want to shave my hair. And Matt Hardy was like, you won't have to because you'll win. And then he did have to.
Yeah, Jack Evans should be pretty mad at Matt Hardy for making him do that. So his sort of, his okay hair got shaved. I was going to say beautiful hair, but it's
not.
I did love that. I didn't realize it was happening until they took a picture later, but the fact that Chuck and Yuta shaved him to look like the butcher cracked me up so much.
Yeah, That was very funny. And, you know, I think they did a really good shaving job. I mean, they clearly, yeah. they got hair cutting scissors. Those were very sharp. The ponytail came right off. Mm-hmm. It all went very cleanly. As you know, I recently watched their Chikara hair match that where Osea's fire ant shaved Chuck's head. And he is a good mm-hmm. shaver. He didn't shave here. Dustin and Yuta did, and he cut. Did he shave?
I'm not sure.
You know what? We don't have to know, but... And actually, what I was saying wasn't that interesting, where I was just like, he's very good at shaving heads.
Yes. Okay.
And they really leaned into the barbering stuff, too. So, like, OC came out with, like, a broom at the end, which did make me, like, laugh out loud. And they were wearing their little barber, you know, uniforms and stuff, which was cute.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
Chuck
great.
Does love a costume.
He certainly is always in them. It's very funny. Where, and he never looks more like a little boy than when he's in a costume.
I feel like probably the kind of people who become wrestlers were the kind of little boys that love to dress up in costumes. So
yeah, the little like theater boys and girls. And then finally, Cody did a little theater for us this week. He had a promo where Arne Anderson came to his house and set a fire outside in the middle of the night. But when Cody came out, he was still in his full suit, which I thought was a very funny touch.
Three-piece suit, yeah.
And actually, I don't remember anything they said to each other, even though it was pretty funny.
I feel like Arne was like, finally someone noticed I'm out here, which was pretty
yeah, that's
funny.
Right. That is correct.
The whole yeah, thing was very funny, actually. I was like, this is a very successful
I don't know what's going on.
From Cody.
The only thing I remember from this is that Sarah very quietly said to herself, oh my God, the Arnsonist, and then like laughed so hard that she made herself a little bit sick.
Oh, well, that is pretty good. I mean, I got to give it to her.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Cody. I don't care that much. Roads to the Top is pretty boring.
Yeah, this week, like last week, I was entertained mostly, but this week was a lot of like them trying to make drama out of nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Which is, it's just really funny where I'm just like, I don't know. I know that it's a show about them, so this isn't the point of it, but I'm like, all I want to do is just wander around backstage and
I
see
know.
What dumb shit people are getting up to. So
seriously, that
you
was
don't
the
have
disappointing
to do that much
thing.
To keep me happy.
I know. This week was that it was just all about like Cody and Brandy's dumb little fights and stuff that weren't anything instead of like talking to Darby Allin for 10 minutes, which is what I want. So
I know. We did get to see, for some reason, I'm like, why is Preston Vance so involved in this show?
I know. I did not know that he was a coach. Yeah, like I didn't
know
he was coaching people.
Yeah.
He's all at the Nightmare Factory.
Learn things every day about what they're up to backstage, but not enough stuff.
No. I do think it's real interesting that like the Young Bucks and Kenny just like never appear on the show. I was like, man, they are really not friends. Although I was also like, the Young Bucks are probably like a little bit too savvy to allow themselves to be on someone else's reality show that they don't have control of the edit of.
Yeah, I know. And I feel
yeah, I think that's
I
right.
just Those got too happy idiots. Thinking about that, honestly. I was just like, and good for them. They control their image and good for them. My beautiful Bucks. Okay, does anyone have anything that they desperately have to say? Only if you have to say it. Very close. I think everyone froze, actually. So we got to wrap this up before it freezes in a more major way. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod. And via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com and on most other social media sites at tunneltalkpod. So just like think of, you know, it's like, what do we talk about on the show? Check it out. See what you find there.
Yeah, go to MySpace. See what's up.
Would that we could, us and Kenny. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and come back next week.